Rejoicing Him who rules today upon the heavenly throne, where saints their hearts they'll tribute pay and make their homage known.
No earthly king so great as He,
who rules all worlds in majesty.
Good morning, Oscoda and Tawas areas. My name is Scott Busich, and I am the preacher for the Oscoda Church of Christ. I want to thank you for inviting me into your home this day and hope that you will enjoy your time with me as we search the scriptures. You are invited to join us this morning for worship at 5726 Cedar Lake Road at 11 a.m. and then again at 6 p.m. There's also a Bible study Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and then another one Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. All of these services are broadcast live on Facebook. You're welcome to join us there. Just like and follow the Oscoda Church of Christ. As an alternative, you're always welcome to call or text me, 989-305-2721. Send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. Join me now in opening our Bibles as we search the scriptures. The book of Micah starts out with condemnation of both Samaria and Jerusalem, meaning Israel and Judah. Not only their condemnation, but also the promise of their destruction. God is going to bring them to an end. Now, what could they have been doing to justify such a punishment from God? And make no mistake, this is a punishment. Turn with me to the book of Micah, chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Woe to those who devise wickedness and work evil on their beds. When the morning dawns, they perform it because it is in the power of their hand. They covet fields and seize them, and houses and take them away. They oppress a man and his house, a man and his inheritance. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, against this family I am devising disaster, from which you cannot remove your necks, and you shall not walk haughtily, for it will be a time of disaster. In that day they shall take up a taunt song against you and moan bitterly and say, we are utterly ruined. He changes the portion of my people, how he removes it from me. To an apostate he allots our fields. Therefore you will have none to cast the line by lot in the assembly of the Lord. Now this punishment from God through Micah to Israel and Judah is such that it is happening because these people are so evil. They dream up ways to be evil, to perform their evil. And when they wake up in the morning, while they're still in their beds, even before they get out of bed, they're busy putting these evil plans into action. What evil plans do they have? They're taking the fields and they're taking the houses away from their fellow man, their Jews. Now, Jewish society back then is very different from their society today and our society today. Back then, taking fields and houses, that meant taking their heritage and their future, because the lands back then were guaranteed by God to stay in the family name. They were supposed to stay with the family for all of time. They weren't supposed to be able to sell land and houses like we do today. In fact, God had instituted a time span wherein if they had had to sell their fields and had to sell their houses, after a period of time, that property would revert back to the family name. They would get that land back at a certain point in time in the future. God's promise to them meant that they would always have land. They would always have a house, a home. And this is important because the ownership of these lands means that there's a future generation. There are descendants to consider. There are children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. You just keep on working your way down the line. Taking houses and taking lands back then wasn't about taking money, and it wasn't about power necessarily. It was about enslavement and denial of a future for the Jews by their fellow Jew, by their fellow man. And thus, we have the punishment of God. God is not going to let this stand, is what Micah is telling Israel and Judah. These people were going to be punished by God for taking the future away from their fellow man. And so their punishment was this: God says, you take away the future of your fellow man, I'm going to take your future away. I'm going to see to it that you cease to exist, that you no longer are able to continue. This is the punishment that God gives to them through Micah. Now, if this isn't bad enough, Micah continues to speak about these evil people to let them know that not only are they not getting away with their behavior, he wants to let them know that their evil is so complete. It's so ingrained. It's so much a part of who they are. The message that Micah delivers is not only ignored, but also perverted into the exact opposite. Look with me in Micah in chapter 2 in verse 6. Listen to what's recorded here. Do not preach. Thus they preach. One should not preach of such things. Disgrace will not overtake us. Skip down to verse 11 of chapter 2, and we read this. If a man should go about and utter wind and lies, saying, I will preach to you of wine and strong drink, he would be the preacher for this people. Look at Micah chapter 3 and verse 5. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who lead my people astray, who cry peace when they have something to eat, but declare war against him who puts nothing in their mouths. Therefore it shall be night to you without vision, and darkness to you without divination. The sun shall go down on the prophets, and the day shall be black over them. The seers shall be disgraced, and the diviners put to shame. They shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Skip down in Micah to chapter 3 and verse 11. We read this. Its heads give judgment for a bride. Its priests teach for a price. Its prophets practice divination for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord in the midst of us? No disaster shall come upon us. Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed as a field. Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, and the mountain of the house a wooded height. Do you hear the continuous running thread through these verses? These people who devise this evil in their beds, they also think that because they are Jews, that God is with them, that they can do these things, that they can behave in this evil manner, this evil way, and yet they think that they are still in a right relationship with God. In fact, it is their prophets, it is their priests, it is their leaders that are telling them, yes, what you're doing is okay. What you're doing is acceptable to God. It is their religious leaders that are making this error pronounced for them. The only thing that's changed today between then and now is the name by which God's people are called. Those who follow God today, we call ourselves Christians. And yet there have been similar people among Christians who devise similar evils, stealing the future away from their fellow man, maybe even devising those evils in their own beds. And yet their religious leaders encourage them in their evil. This has been a warning for us Christians since the beginning of Christianity, not just for those of Micah's day. It wasn't just Micah's day that they had these problems. Turn with me to the book of Acts in chapter 20 and verse 29. Listen to part of Paul's message to the Ephesian elders as he's saying his goodbyes to them. Listen to what he says here. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. For 3 years, Paul has been teaching not just the Christians at Ephesus, but the elders at Ephesus, the leaders of the church at Ephesus. He tells the elders, not just the congregation, but he tells the elders, the fierce wolves will come among you elders. This is the leadership of the Ephesian church, and Paul has been warning them for years that this will happen, this will take place. If it's possible back then, when Paul was alive, do you think do you think maybe, just possibly, the same might be true today? Now, I know it is. We all know it is. There are people who drag Christ's name through the mud because they behave in such despicable manners, in such despicable ways, and the leadership of many groups is complicit in this sin, this evil act, these evil behaviors. It's not just that there's accusations, oh, there might be bad Christians out there. No. No, our news reports, our histories are filled with men and women who've claimed the name of Christ, established some sort of church, and then gone and done some terrible, awful, wicked, evil things. And Paul warns the church at Ephesus that among the leaders, such things will take place. They will take advantage of their fellow Christians. I'm not even talking about people that are outside of Christ. And there are, again, unfortunately, there are Christians who have taken advantage of those that are outside of Christ. We should not do this. We should never do this. But even within the church, there have been Christians who have taken advantage of other Christians. Paul warned the Ephesian elders about this. And we too today should take heed. The warning is there that it's a possibility. Turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4 and verse 1, and listen to what Paul writes to the young preacher Timothy. He says this, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Notice Paul's multi-directional instruction here. One side is that the preachers are supposed to be and to do this thing, while on the other side, there's the opposite of what preachers are supposed to be and to do. And Paul knows just how serious this situation is. As he begins this paragraph, as he gives Timothy this instruction, he sets the stage with a charge, calling upon God and upon Christ Jesus. Paul is serious about this. It is no joke. He wants Timothy to be very careful about what he says, about how he behaves, and what he teaches to the brethren. Christ is coming back, and there's going to be judgment, the living and the dead. And Timothy is going to have to answer, as James will tell us, Timothy will have to answer for the things that he teaches. And so Paul tells him, you need to preach the word, right? Just as Micah was warning Judah and Israel in his day, Paul is warning Timothy and the Christians in their day, and I'm warning us, just by repeating what Micah said, what Paul said, I am warning us that we should heed that same warning. Jesus is coming back. And those that are living will be judged, and those that are dead will be judged. And I know the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin, but there is still a standard. There's still a judgment that will take place. And when Jesus appears, when he comes back for in the second coming, we need to be ready, prepared, meaning we need to be living the way that God would have us to live. And so Paul tells us the preacher is charged to preach the word. That's his main job. That's numero uno. That's the first thing he needs to do. His task, preach the word, not preach the news, not preach his feelings, not preach his opinions, preach the word. And he's not supposed to be preaching a word. He's not supposed to be preaching some word. He's supposed to be preaching the word. What does that mean? His preaching is supposed to come from the scriptures. It's supposed to come from the Bible. Now, Paul doesn't use those terms because that's not how it's known yet. But when we preach, when the man gets into the pulpit, what he's supposed to be preaching is supposed to come from the scriptures. That's his job. And as Paul says, not just on the first day of the week, not just when it's convenient, Paul says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. The preacher has a responsibility to always be ready to deliver the word. And they're not supposed to preach just what they like. And they're not supposed to preach just what the audience likes. God says reprove, rebuke, and exhort. That means that there's going to need to be some correction sometimes. There's going to need to let the audience know that there's some actions that need to be taken to change how they're living. And indeed, I often strive to help all of us to make that decision in our own lives, to change how we live so that we are more aligned with God, with Christ. And that's a decision you have to make, but the plea is always there. Make that change. Follow God. Don't follow the rest of the world. Don't follow what humans are teaching. Follow what God has taught us. That's what we need to be about. And not only reproving and rebuke, but also exhortation, that encouragement that's supposed to come from the word. I've known some preachers, all they ever do is preach hellfire and brimstone. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. No, through Christ, we have forgiveness of sins. Our sins are forgiven and forgotten, and we strive to be like Christ in all that we do and say. That's the exhortation. Follow Christ. Imitate Christ. Imitate Paul as he imitates Christ. Our preachers are supposed to follow this example given to us by Paul. Preach the word. How does your preacher measure up? But wait, we're not done. We're not done looking at this paragraph. Paul, as he continues, it's not just preach the word, but he continues and he says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And then he says, with complete patience and teaching. This is honestly a part that I struggle with frequently. Complete patience. Man, it is so hard when somebody doesn't want to listen, when somebody doesn't want to pay attention, when somebody doesn't want to accept what God's word says. Complete patience, Scott. And with teaching. Preaching includes teaching. There's a difference between preaching and teaching. Teaching is giving information. Preaching is that appeal to change. God is calling you to be better, to be more than what you are. He's not just giving you information, but he wants you to be more like him, to follow him. And we preachers, we have a responsibility to not just preach the word, but to preach the word with complete patience and teaching. Once again, let me ask that question. How does your preacher measure up? Now, on the other side, the contrasting side, the time, Paul says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Christianity is built on truth, but there will be teachers, there will be preachers who will wander off into myths. Just because someone calls themselves a preacher, an evangelist, a pastor, fill in the blank with whatever title they give themselves, just because they have a title doesn't necessarily mean that they have sound teaching. How do we know sound teaching? And the answer is, do they preach the word? Does their preaching come from the scriptures, or do they use something else? That's the measurement that God gives us. We don't know if he has sound teaching, if he has a doctorate or a degree or an education of any. It doesn't matter if they speak well, if they're a rhetorician. It doesn't matter if they know certain people and are well connected. It doesn't matter if you like what they say. It doesn't even matter if they are the greatest speaker on the planet. The measurement that God gives us is, do they preach the word? That's what we need to be checking. Many people today don't ask this question. Many people today, they don't ask, what kind of a preacher do you have at your congregation? Many people want to know, what kind of social programs does your church have? How many kids does your congregation have? How large is your congregation? What's the demographic? What's the age? What's the racial makeup of your congregation? People want to know all these things. Does your preacher preach the word? That's the question. That's where we need to start. I remember listening to a couple of ladies discussing which church that they went to. And it was interesting because one lady said, well, we used to go to this church and then we switched to this other church because the kids liked this other church better. And the one woman said, well, isn't that difficult? And she says, it doesn't matter which church I go to as long as they preach Christ. And that's almost true. That's almost true because there's a lot of churches that will preach Christ but not preach the word, meaning this. They do not teach everything that God has given us. They only teach the parts that they like. Remember, judgment for many people is resting on what type of man fills that pulpit. Are they the man that God has authorized? Or is it someone who just scratches your ears so that you feel good? As Micah warned Israel and Judah, those Jews thought that they were in good standing with God even while they took advantage of their fellow man. God called their actions evil. They're getting rich. They're getting lands. They're getting houses. What they're doing was evil. What kind of Christians are you among? What kind of religious leaders do you have? Many Christians today, do they take advantage of their fellow man even while they worship God? They think they're in good standing with God while they abuse their fellow man. See, in Micah's day, they didn't want to hear that message that Micah was delivering. They wanted smooth words. They wanted words which made them feel good. They wanted lying prophets. They wanted prophets that tell them peace. They wanted prophets that tell them that everything is great, that God is blessing them, and all of these things. And it's difficult for us because the challenge is this. If your bank account is fat and you drive a fancy car and you have a great home, and that does not mean you're pleasing to God. That does not mean what you're doing is pleasing to God. The question is, do you follow the word of God? That is what we need to be about. Are you listening to what Jesus and the apostles said? Or is your preacher preaching something else? Is your pastor leading you into some other ways? Are they itching your ears? Only you can answer that question. Look at the scriptures and then look at what your preacher preaches. Look at what your church teaches. Ask yourself the question, are you following God? There are many today that are lying prophets. There are many today that are lying preachers. They tell people what they want to hear. They itch their ears, and it doesn't matter what God's word says. People want to be told that God approves of their living, their lifestyle, even if it's in direct conflict with God's word. Remember, the preacher, he has the responsibility to preach the word. That is his job, with complete patience and teaching. Micah wasn't a popular guy in his day. Those who preach the word today often are not popular either. As Paul will say in Galatians in chapter 1 and verse 10, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Now, again, this doesn't mean that the preacher can be rude and abrasive. Remember, complete patience, preachers. This man is to preach the word. I hope you've enjoyed our time in the scriptures today. I thank you for joining me. If I can pray for you, set up a personal Bible study, or help you in any way, please let me know. Again, my name is Scott Busich. I preach for the Oscoda Church of Christ at 5726 Cedar Lake Road, just north of the old Kmart in Oscoda. And I invite you to worship with us at 11 o'clock this morning. Or feel free to call or text me, 989-305-2721. Send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. And as always, may God bless you as you go to worship this day.